In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to begin this morning by sharing with you some very harsh words. Words that I read this week. And I don't really know if I, as a preacher, I should say them, but I'll read them anyway. Listen carefully. Keep away from anyone who is living in idleness. If anyone will not work, let him not eat. For we have heard that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Are you kidding? Who would write that? St. Paul. It's in 2 Thessalonians. Keep away from anyone who is living in idleness. If anyone will not work, let him not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. And I wanted to use that as an introduction to our second of, I think it will be three sermons on the theme of this month of ministries, this idea that the church needs us, needs you and me, to work for the good of our ministries, to support them through our not only our efforts, but through our prayers, through our money when necessary, to create new ministries. And that was the theme of last Sunday's sermon. That will be the theme of today. And I mentioned that last Sunday that we would talk about the whys of why it is that we have ministries in the church and must support them. So why is it that you and I are called to support the ministries of the church? Well, the best way to answer that question is to go back to the Bible again. This time, St. Paul writing in 1 Corinthians. These are words you've heard many times before. They come from chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or frees, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. And I'll continue with more of that chapter. It's beautiful. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the smell? But as it is, God arranged the organs in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single organ, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body which we think less honorable, we invest with a greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior part, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You, us, we are the body of Christ. We are individually members of that body. And we all know, we've heard this before in other sermons that I preach, and I'm sure you've heard elsewhere, the word a member has been distorted in the contemporary world. It's a member, a Costco member, golf club member, that's all kind of silliness. Member means a part of the body. It is a biblical idea, and that's you and me. And because there's in every body there are eyes, and there's a nose, and there are ears, and everything else. There's a spleen, whatever that does. I know it does something. It all fits together. Each one of us is different. And that is why we need each one of us to support the ministries of the church, because we all have something different to offer. Some are singers, some are writers, some are listeners, some are teachers, some are cooks, some are organizers, some are communicators. It goes on and on and on. So the first answer to the question why we must support the ministries of the church is because we're members of the body. Each member of the body is different, and each is indispensable. Each part of our body, as it functions, we value it. We need it. The second answer to the question of why support the ministries of the church is this. We support the ministries because, as Christians, we are part of a faith that is a faith of action. If you don't believe me, not only did God create the world, He recreated the world. It's in this morning's gospel reading, right? For God so loved the world that He sent His only beloved Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. So God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. He sent Him. He did something. He acted. He is the God of action. And yes, we can look in the Old Testament for plenty of examples of people taking action, but let's just stick this morning with the New Testament and beyond. Joseph, when we read the account of the Nativity of Christ, we know that Joseph takes action. He not only takes action to protect Mary when he finds out about the Incarnation, but he takes action to go to Egypt. And then to move to Nazareth, he's on the move. He is a man of action. He responds to God's promptings, but with God's promptings, he doesn't sit idle. He does what needs to be done. Jesus shares with us the parable of the talents, something that if we are regular churchgoers, we are at least somewhat familiar with. The owner of a piece of land entrusts the care of the land and the property to three different servants. To one he gives 5 talents, to one 2 talents, and to the third 1 talent. And we know that the servants who were given 5 talents and then 2 talents and multiplied them were rewarded. The one servant who buried that 1 talent he was given was punished. And there's a message there. Take action. If you're entrusted with something, do something with it. We are entrusted with the care of this church. We are to take action. That's our call. We don't have a choice. I mentioned last week that there are 11 resurrectional gospels that are read on a rotating basis each week. This week, the gospel was superseded because today we celebrate the Nativity of the Theotokos. Ordinarily, we would have read this gospel. It's the gospel that we hear at baptisms. It's the gospel that we hear on Holy Saturday morning. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and they saw him and they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them." Jesus wants us to act. And that is, in fact, what happens, right? The apostles, if we read in the book of Acts, they're out moving around and traveling here and there and taking chances and preaching and visiting people's homes and being thrown in jail and being released from jail and traveling some more. Why? Because Christianity is not a passive religion. It is not a religion for us to simply contemplate and to be somehow transformed inwardly. It's not that at all. It's a religion of action, and we're called to do something about it. And the third reason I would submit for why it is that we need to support the ministries of our church is so that we can continue to turn the world right side up. We had a fantastic discussion at the Orthodox Forum this past week with our young adults, and we really came to the conclusion at the end, something that we all knew anyway, is that The world is upside down. What people value as good in the world is really not good at all, and the way people treat one another is really rather horrible. We Christians are so different, and we are called to set the world aright. We don't have it wrong, the world does. The world is backwards in so many respects. And we know that Christianity is a religion that makes people look at the world differently and turns things upside down, because we heard in this morning's gospel reading, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. That is a deliberate play on words, because the word for lifted up also means to be crucified in the vernacular of Jesus' time. So the Son of Man must be lifted up, that is, crucified, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. That's how we get it backwards. The Son of Man doesn't need to do anything other than sacrifice himself on the cross for our salvation. He didn't have to get any extra degrees, work hard at another job, save a certain amount of money. Salvation comes through crucifixion. And that is how we live our lives. We live our lives turning the world right side up again, this world that is upside down. I'll read it. This happens several times throughout the Gospels. Here's the one from Mark chapter 9. They came to Cana. This is another encounter with Jesus and the apostles. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, Jesus, that is, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." So again, we turn the world upside down through our service. The world says that the bigger house, the bigger car, the better job, which are important on some level, I suppose, that all those things, that's how great you are. We say no. Greatness comes from serving others. That's the source of greatness. Before concluding, I wanted to put out a challenge with regard to ministries. In the back of the church, just as we've had in the familion and we have on the website, is a chance for people to sign up to be part of a ministry. But if you recall, some months ago I made a challenge in church about help with the church bulletin, and lo and behold, somebody responded to me. In fact, not only responded to me, but then that's actually parlayed into one of the most important and strategic hires that we've done in the history of our parish. So I'm going to try to do the same thing this morning. I've talked with several of our couples about, I think, what is an emerging need to have a couples ministry. Younger couples. We have a fine young adult ministry, and that's great. And we do have some married people that come, but it's a ministry mainly for people who are still looking for their spouse. And so my challenge this morning, as we consider ministries, is that maybe one or two of the couples here this morning might find each other during coffee hour and start chatting about this subject. I think it's very important. The time is right for it. The need is there. And goodness knows, as I consider our parishioners and our young couples, we have so many people who have the life skills and the faith to organize something like this, obviously with my support. So that's my challenge before concluding.
This morning, during this month of ministries, we have tried to answer the question, why support a ministry of Holy Trinity? And we have said first and foremost that we are members of the body of Christ, as St. Paul says. We are members, parts of the body. And just as each one of our body parts is unique, we are unique. Each one of us has our own skills, abilities, interests, and we all bring those skills and abilities and interests to bear as we work together to make the parish as strong as possible. We have said that when we participate in the ministries of the church, that we take action. And people of faith are people of action. We do not sit idly by and watch events unfold before us. We instead participate. We instead participate in God's plan for salvation. And we have said that when we serve, we help to put the world right side up. Because we have learned that as Christians, our greatness occurs when we humble ourselves, when we are the servants of others. And in fact, in that spirit, I'd like to conclude with reviewing part of the scripture that we referred to earlier in this morning's sermon. And unlike the scripture that was used as the introduction to the sermon, this is actually rather straightforward and very easy to understand. And they came to Capernaum, and Jesus was in the house, and he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they were silent. For on the way they had discussed with one another who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." On the way they had discussed with one another who was the greatest. And he sat down and told them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." During this month of ministries, might we all aspire to achieve greatness. This month, might we all please recommit ourselves to serving a ministry of the parish.